Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear, The Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 3, entitled Ouroboros.
Okay, I wonder what that means.
99% I'm pronouncing it wrong, but Ouroboros is a Greek term. It's an ancient symbol depicting a serpent or dragon eating its own tail. That is quoted directly from Wikipedia. And it sort of means something constantly recreating itself. And one of the examples they used was actually from The Walking Dead. And they mentioned how a walker is simultaneously being eaten by sand crabs, yet at the same time, it's eating those crabs.
Okay. Yeah. Good old Wikipedia.
Right?
What would we do without it?
What would we do without Wikipedia? And they're always trying to, like, sue Wikipedia.
Shut it down.
It's like, come on, dude. That's like almost my first source of information, you know?
I see.
I always quote Wikipedia. Despite in school, they tell you never quote Wikipedia, but you secretly on the low do.
Yeah.
And the episode was written by Alan Page, who has worked on Ken, XY, La Revista, and he was also a script translator on Babel. The movie, 2006 movie with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, very good movie. And it was directed by Stephen Schwartz, who has worked on shows such as The American, Black Sails, Power, The Bridge, The Walking Dead, and Low Winter Sun.
Damn, good resume.
Yeah, he had a lot of stuff. I just couldn't write it all down, of course.
Okay.
All right, so before we get into this recap, since we did not do an instant cast because Game of Thrones came on last night and it was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
But let's real quickly discuss what we thought of this episode overall.
I enjoyed the episode. I appreciate this episode. And I know I say use the word appreciation a lot, but I love when a show goes back to the origin and goes back to the last season. So when something happened, you know, we're like, hold up, can this guy do this? But then we realize this is what he was doing last season. I guess recreating himself.
Right.
Like you said. So I enjoyed the show.
Now, which part are you referring to as far as going back to last season?
Like Travis. When Travis first started fixing the boat, pumping it, I guess fixing the pump system.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, BS.
Okay. Like, how in the hell does he know how to fix this?
Yeah. But then the more I thought about it, because I thought hard about it, very, very hard about it. I'm like, hold up. You know, he was doing this last season.
Yeah, I think we saw him for the first time fixing their kitchen sink or something.
Right.
All right. That, yeah, I didn't even think of that as a callback.
It explained a lot. Maybe he's somebody good to have on your team.
Right. He's kind of like Dale. Which one of them on The Walking Dead
used to fix
stuff? Okay, Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Dale. All right. I enjoyed the episode as well. Especially the second time, because the first time we did actually end up watching it late last night after we did our instant cast for Game of Thrones. So it was pretty late, and I was still, like, so high on Game of Thrones, I couldn't really concentrate. So when I watched it today, solely focused on the show, I noticed a lot more things that I did not notice the first time, such as Nick finding the medicine, and, you know, I didn't know what was going on the first time when we saw Chris beating that man up, like killing him. Like, wait, what happened? So it's because I wasn't paying attention. The second time around, I liked it. And then, of course, seeing the people from the plane, I'm like, yes.
I love the lesson this episode dealing with Chris.
Yes. Yeah, I do too. We'll discuss it when we get there.
Yeah.
All right. So the way the podcast works is if it's the first time you're listening, we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters, and then we have an award and a prediction at the end. First on the likes is seeing the people from the plane, as I just mentioned. We learn their names are Alex is the lady and Jake is the boy that at this time is very wounded.
Yeah, but did they give the killer a name?
Who's the killer?
The guy knocking everybody out.
No, but actually, that is actually next on our list. When the dude saw, like, it was just crazy seeing how fast they come to terms with when people have been infected.
Yeah, but it's understandable. Because remember, they were in an isolated area. They were in an airplane. They had to pick up quick.
Yeah, they had to pick up quick. But we seen in The Walking Dead, I think even when, like, T-Dog got bit. That's how he died. He got bit. by saving Carol or somebody. Like, no one was going to kill T-Dog immediately. Whereas, like, here he saw the bit on it. He saw the bite on his ankle. And we know now that could have been cut off. But they're out to sea. What would they have done if they cut it off? But he didn't even, like, hesitate. It was beam, bam, boom.
Well, he's seen this happen, like, 3 times already. Somebody get bit on a plane. They turn. The next person get bit. They turn. So right now, he's not taking any chances.
He's not taking any chances anymore. Like, takes
Rick. Right.
Now, what happened to him, though? Because we only see Alex and Jake.
Remember, the middle of the night, Alex was supposed to be asleep.
Oh, yeah. He
was like, yo, I'm taking this guy out.
Right.
He's going to die anyway.
Yeah.
And Alex kills him.
Okay, yep, because that's actually next on the likes, the guy about to kill Jake in his sleep. That was pretty cold-blooded. Then again, it's something we didn't see in the beginning of The Walking Dead.
But that's not cold-blooded.
Well, I was going to say it's no different than what Carol did to the people in season 4 that were sick. Remember when Rick made her leave the prison?
This is a big difference. They were in the prison. People were locked up. They were locked away. What Carol did was wrong. What this guy did, anybody would have did. They were on a little small little pedal boat.
Yeah, but wait until he dies to be able to kill him.
He already knew he was dying.
Well, he's still not dead. He's JSSing somehow. So, I mean, he's a kid. How could you do that to a kid? Even though he looks pretty effed up. Like, I don't know how you come back from that. Like, half his face looked burned, unless that was just dried up blood.
From what I know now, I don't care who it is.
Damn. You don't care who it is?
I don't care who it is. On the code bit. Bye.
Code. All right. So Strand, I always said he was a favorite, but he's doing some shit that's like Walter White-ish, you know, where you just like start, you used to excuse some of it. And then now it's kind of like, dude, I don't know if I can keep forgiving you for that selfless stuff. Yet. Him and the conversations he had with Madison and Travis this episode just cracked me up. Like, I just kept laughing. I don't know if it was meant to be funny, but it was funny. With the first one, with them going back and forth with each other, and when they find out that they need to go down there, and Strand's like, hurry up, somebody do it. I don't got all day. Like, I'm not waiting till tomorrow. And I was thinking in my head, dude, like, how are you telling someone you don't have time until tomorrow unless you're going down yourself? But that's exactly what Madison said. She said, you want me to go get you some flippers? And then Travis is like, I'll do it. And Madison starts fussing with Travis about it. And then Strand's like, I think your man already decided. I don't know. Like, both those things had me cracking up. But, I mean, well, first thing was Madison saying to Strand. But then that argument, it was just funny seeing them, like, bicker.
It was.
Well, next he says to Travis, he was telling Travis, like, hurry up and clean up. I don't know. He was being disrespectful. And Travis is like, I'm not the help. And he was like, clearly. Like, dude. Like, clearly, if you were the help, you would have been hurrying up. You wouldn't have been talking back.
It would have been done.
It would have been done. And I'm like, damn. And then he kind of looked at him. He's like, and to me, he was, like, patronizing him when he said it. Because he's like, you know, you're a respectable member of the crew. Like, you're important. Da-da-da-da. But it was... It didn't really even sound meaningful. It just sounded like, okay, this is what the proper thing is to say, so I'm going to say this to make him feel better. But it just, it was wrong, but it had me crack it up. Strand to Alicia, I know you're not running on my deck. Like, just like, and Alicia's like, oh my God. Like, you know. But I was just cracking up. I was like, this
Strand
dude
was ice cold this episode.
So rude. I'm like, dude.
Well, I think it's time for him to step up. We see nobody's obeying him or nobody's obeying his rules like previous episodes. You know, they're doing what they want to do. Like, he's not helping them out.
It's not like he's just the only one helping them out. They're also helping him out.
True.
If they weren't there, then who would have went down underneath and got all that gook out and put their hands in all that gook and clean all that out?
Well, it's true. They are also helping him out. We've seen them help him break out of prison last season. With an army prison. So, yeah, they help him get to the house or his home, help him get to his boat, apparently.
Right.
So they're helping each other out, but that is his boat. Without him, they would still be stuck on the island.
Yeah, but how long is he going to be able to use that? Oh, I saved you. I saved you. I mean, like, two seasons later, is he going to be like, oh, I saved you from the island? Like, dude, how many times do I have to say thank you and for it to be done? It doesn't excuse everything else that comes afterwards.
Well, I don't think he's trying to use that excuse, but they are on his boat. So they can't, I mean, that's like somebody moving to your house. They're not paying bills. You know, they're eating your food. You put all this food in the refrigerator. They're eating it all. And they're still not abiding by your rules. You come home, their feet up on your table. I mean, sometimes you got to set some rules and boundaries.
No, I understand.
Like, hey, you floating here rent free.
Right.
Don't run in my house with your shoes on. I don't know.
All right, Strand, when Madison was threatening, or not threatening him at this point, but when she was asking him or questioning him, are you going to try to abandon us? Don't think you can. Like, what do you mean? What, are you going to follow him everywhere he goes? But he was like, how can I abandon seven people at once? And part of it, I thought it was funny, of course. But the other part was, am I reading too much into this at once part? Like, does it mean I'm going to try to abandon a few of you at a time? Or am I just, like, reading all into it too much?
Well, I think the end of the episode kind of told us what he meant. He's going to cut them off one piece at a time.
Oh, like he did those people.
Right.
Well, Madison, I put this as a like, but I'm not really sure if it is. Because at the same time, I'm thinking, like, it was a little disrespectful, but it was also bold, so that's why I liked it. But Madison tells Strand, I will not hesitate to throw you off the boat if I even see you look at any of my family members the wrong way. And then he was like, you're not a killer. And then she kind of just had this look on, like, test me. Don't even test me. Do you find that as a like, or do you agree with Madison doing that? Do you think that was smart for her to threaten him? Like, she said it before as a joke, and we thought that was wrong. But now she's actually literally telling him, I will throw you off this boat. What do you think?
I like it. I see where she's coming from. She's unsure about Strand. You know, Daniel put that doubt in her head. So all she's thinking about now is survival and her family survival. That's it.
Right, because I don't know if it was at this time or before, but she was like, that's my family. He's like, yeah, your family.
But then they also made a couple more references to that in the show. Like when Daniel told Ophelia, do you think that she would put you before her own daughter? And it's with so many words in this episode, Maddie has proved Daniel right. She would not put anyone before a family.
I think they're all that same way, even Travis. Because when they were coming back, Travis is like, where's Chris? And I'm like, that's the only person he mentioned.
Well, I understand that. I'm not saying she's wrong for that.
Right.
But I'm saying that Daniel was right for what he said.
Of course. I mean, yeah, he's definitely right about it. But are you saying that if they find out that Ophelia is running a fever, what they may do to her, what the man did to the other man on the boat?
I mean, they may. They may not. All I'm saying is that this episode, they made their point to show that Maddie will put her family first. Maddie and her family, they're on one side. Everybody else is on this side.
I mean, I don't think Madison did anything in particular that made that reference, besides if you look at my family. But to me, she didn't really show any favor towards her kids in this episode more than what she has in the past.
No, I don't mean anything about her actions. I mean that what the show implied. What okay. Daniel said, to what Maddie said.
To what Strand said.
To what Strand said.
Okay. All right, so the man begging Chris to kill him, it was really deep and dark. But I loved that moment because we have complained so much about Chris, him being a bratty teenager. And last week we saw him killing all those walkers and kind of being excited. And clearly he took that weapon with him because that's the same weapon.
Yeah.
But now he's trying to save this man, and even though he looks and saw the bruise in his back and realizes it's a hopeless thing, when the man says, kill me, and Chris had to, like, hit him so many times for him to die, and this was not a walker anymore, this was a human being, I think this helped him realize how hard it was for the dad to kill the mom.
Right, I think it was a turn of tables.
Yeah.
He see his dad did what he had to do. And also in this scene, we also see that Chris is not as heartless as we thought he was. You know, he's going around just killing walkers for fun. I mean, you got to protect yourself.
Right.
But these walkers had on safety belts on the airplane.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they were strapped in.
One had an air mask and he was like taunting it.
Right. I mean, these walkers weren't going to kill him.
But we've seen Abraham on The Walking Dead. He kind of like laughs and smiles when he's killing walkers as well.
But I'm saying that Chris is enjoying this. And when he was doing this, I'm like, oh man, shit, this is Damien.
Right. You know? He's a future serial killer.
Right. But you see, when it was time for him to kill an actual person, he had a hard time doing it. I mean, you saw the look on his face. This is something that he will never, ever get used to.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever get used to it. And I don't think he'll ever forget this moment. Like, even when Alicia saw him and was like, oh, that blood. He's like, no, it's not mine. And she's like, oh, you got one? And he didn't even, like, answer necessarily right then and there. Because I think that's when more walkers started coming. But I don't think he would have told her the truth anyways. Like, I don't think he's going to tell anyone what he did back there.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be the change to the bratty, the prick that we've been calling Chris. And he may have more respect for his father.
Yeah, he might be just a valuable member to the team. We'll have to see. All right, so Nick scored amoxicillin, which is used to treat infections and stomach ulcers. Now, I'm a little conflicted on, did he score this for himself, or do you think he's going to give it to Ophelia?
He's going to give it to Ophelia. That's going to be the next love connection. That's going to be a storyline all of his own.
All right. The only reason I question is because we saw him give her the rosemary beads, but it didn't show him give her the amoxicillin, but it might have just been implied that that's who he was going to give it to. But I'm glad you're talking about love connection, because I believe either last night, yeah, it was last night when we watched it the first time, or even a few days ago, I know you mentioned that you think Madison and Strand are going to hook up.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that last night. Or was it last episode?
I don't know. I know you mentioned it. And at the time, I thought it was crazy. But now this episode, seeing them go back and forth, you know, they're getting on each other's nerves. But I don't know. It tells me that maybe they'll end up hooking up. And even her and Travis are arguing and fighting.
Well, we see at the beginning of this episode how awkward it was for her and Travis to be together. And they were together in their own room. Like they were, it was forced. Like they were trying to make love. But it just looked so awkward.
They've changed. So much has changed. And I think, I tried to write it down at the time and then I said, forget it. But I think Travis commented on something like, kind of, not like we're done, but it was just like, you know, we're two different people now or something. And I think either she stated something along those lines or he did. And it was kind of like, whoever said it, the other person sort of agreed.
But I think they were already these different people. From the first three episodes, we already had our opinion on Maddie, but we just didn't like her. I had love for the character because the character made me not like this. I mean, not the character, the actress, because the actress made me not like this character.
Right.
But she was always just a very mean person, and Travis was just so nice.
Yeah, Travis is very nice. He deserves better. All right, the zombie in the sand that we discussed at the beginning of the episode, the one having the sand crabs eat at it, it was eating the sand crabs.
Yeah.
I like that scene. That was pretty cool.
That was a cool scene.
Although I kind of call bullshit that Nick fell. It didn't necessarily make the likes list because watching it a second time, I'm like, I guess I could see it looked realistic. It didn't look like goofy. You know how they do it like, oh, you know, yeah. It didn't look like that. But at the same time, I was like, dude, why are you standing so close? Like, and how long did you have to stare at it? Like, but you know, he JSS'd. He survived. Now, I don't want to get too much into this. I just want to discuss it real quick because it's a likes, but we'll come back to it on our dislikes because I know you and I felt the same way about it, about what they did with Alex. But Alex saved Daniel's life. When they were up on that beach, a zombie was on him, and Alex knocked the zombie off and saved Daniel's life.
Yeah.
So what happens takes place later, like just, I don't know, felt real heavy because it was like, damn, y'all going to do her like this?
That was crazy. And she was right with what she said. She said, I can't believe y'all discussing this.
Yeah, like y'all debating this. And I read somewhere, and I remember we were talking about how long has it been. Now, this was just another Fear the Walking Dead review online, but they were saying it's only 3 weeks in.
So that's crazy. That's crazy.
Now, I don't think it's 3 weeks into the whole thing because we already saw 13 days. You know, we saw months before Tobias, right. And 13 days.
But there, the characters are 3 weeks in.
Yeah, I'm saying maybe it's 3 weeks since they left L.A., or it's possibly 3 weeks since episode one. It might just be that long.
I kind of feel what she was saying. It's too soon to be so selfish.
No, I definitely agree.
I don't think they've been through enough to not trust anybody. I mean, you were talking about this last night. Really, what have they been through where they can't trust people?
Right.
I mean, we know they had their little thing with the army. The army abandoned them, left, tried to lock up some of their people.
Right.
But is that enough?
To me, it's not enough. I mean, we run into bad people all the time. Someone flips you the finger when you're driving. Whatever the case is, you know, you have a coworker that you hate.
Because you can't drive. You probably see that a lot.
I don't. But either way, I mean, it doesn't make you, like, hate people while you're driving or hate every coworker because you had a bad experience with one coworker. So I just don't get why they're so, like, afraid right now. It just seems a little too soon for it.
It is.
All right, so Nick killing all those walkers and him being in that blood and realizing that the blood protects him.
That was cool.
That was really cool. I really loved it. Although I thought it was a little weird that he was like standing, like he goes up to the walker and looks it in the face.
I didn't think so.
Because in The Walking Dead, even though we know that the zombie blood protects them, any wrong move, they'll realize that they're human. So it was just weird that he was standing right there in front of the walker and like kind of mouthing at it. I mean, he wasn't verbally saying anything, but he was moving his mouth like the walker was.
Yeah, but although this is like a spinoff or whatever, The Walking Dead, I can't compare the two. These are like two different universes. The Walking Dead is on you know, their level, and this show is on another level. So I don't expect the same thing to happen. I'm glad they kept a lot of things the same, like how you kill a walker. Because that would have been weird if it was like on a fear you had to stab him in the stomach or something.
Right.
But I'm glad they kept a lot of things the same. But you can't really compare the two. And I love the fact that Nick is catching on fast. We've seen ever since, you know, he was one of the first people to see a walker.
Right. Fear. And they thought, they thought he was high. He was high, but
he was high.
He did see a walker.
He was the first time to see a walker floater.
Oh, from last week?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, when that was on our dislikes list, I believe, where the walker just like stopped attacking him or whatever.
So we see, and Strand told us before, Strand mentioned it in season one that Nick can adapt. Nick's ability to not know what's going on helps him out more than anything. Really helps him out because he thinks faster. He thinks faster on his feet. And I think the reason he got in the walker's face and just stopped and then tried to kill him because he realized, like, I'm Superman up in here. I'm killing everybody.
Right.
I'm killing all these walkers. They can't touch me. Then, you know, he probably stopped and thought, like, hold up. You know, how am I this good? And I realized that the walkers didn't want him. He was just as dead as they were.
I like that. I think Nick is going to find his purpose in this new world. And I think we discussed that last season, but he's going to be able to feel like maybe he never felt like he was anything or anything important. And I think now he's going to be able to see that he can protect his family. He's going to see his self-worth. And I mean, in a way, it's like, oh, the zombie apocalypse saved his life.
Hopefully.
Next on our likes list is actually Nick again. I think Madison was saying when things clear up, or one of them were saying when things clear up, and Nick was like, things will never clear. I was like, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hopefully they don't think this is like something that's only going to last a few months. This is pretty much the next 5 years at the minimum.
Well, hopefully they have hope.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably be in denial too. Like,
but clearly you could see Nick is right.
Yeah.
Because if they had hope, they would have left that lady.
Yeah, right. Right. Obviously, yeah,
they
would have
brought
hope.
Her onto the boat if they had hope.
Yep. Like, we'll find a shelter in Mexico. Like, the only reason why they think they have shelter in Mexico is because Strand has a hookup.
Right.
They don't think shelter's in Mexico because, hey, that's where the government facility is or a safe house there, like, government formed. It's like a friend of a friend probably has a hookup out there.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because now I'm thinking other thoughts about Strand. Like, maybe he's not a drug dealer or maybe he's not a real estate agent. Maybe Strand is, like, Jason Bourne.
That'd be so cool. He does talk a lot of shit like he knows how to fight.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, they sent him on missions. He's because he's a smooth talker. You saw him when he was in the army prison or the little shelter they had him in locked up. You know, he was bartering and everything. He was staying alive. He was surviving.
Mm-hmm.
He found one person that he could survive with and traded. What, he traded his watch? He traded something.
He traded something.
His cuffling, his watch, something. He traded for him. So we know Strain is a survivor. But what we don't know is, we don't know how much Strand know about the zombie apocalypse. Could he know more than what he's saying? Could he have already known that each and every coastal line was blocked off, damaged, destroyed? Because he always had Mexico in his sights. So could he work for the government? Could he be a Jason Bourne?
That is a possibility. I mean, I buy him being like a Jason Bourne before him being a freaking drug dealer. Like, just the drug dealer doesn't make, I mean, that career has stopped. Like, the moment the zombie pops up.
Yeah, deals are off.
All deals are off. Like, you leave the drugs behind. You might take a little if that's your thing. But, yeah, there's no making, oh, I got a deal. I got a big deal up in Mexico. Like, no, it's not happening.
I can't buy that either. Him being a drug dealer. Because we've seen before that he was bartering. He was giving people what he had. He was already giving away goods. I mean, even though his goods probably, well, we know it's not valuable anymore. But, you know, he never said, oh, you know, let me out of here and I'll give you cash. I'll give you, he gave his watch, gave cufflinks. I mean, you need cufflinks. I mean, they got to keep their shirt together.
Right.
During the zombie apocalypse. They got to know what time it is.
And when we say Jason Bourne, we don't literally mean like the superpowers of Jason Bourne. I think we
actually I do.
You really? There is no other Jason Bourne but Jason Bourne.
I think we're gonna see Strand whoop ass this season.
All right. By the way, a new Jason Bourne trailer released, I think, last week, and it looked amazing.
Oh yeah, it was dope.
Well, that's it for our likes. Dislikes. Honestly, we were more than halfway through the show, and I think I still only had maybe 2 dislikes written down.
Yeah, I think that's all we had. It was like two major dislikes.
Yes.
There was a couple of, you know, arm foes in there.
Yeah. But there were some small ones, but and the thing it was, the episode, nothing really that bad stuck out, but it wasn't that, it still doesn't give me that feeling that you get when you watch other shows that you love, such as The Walking Dead and that Game of Thrones, where you're just so excited afterwards and you want to talk about it all night long. Like, I still didn't get that feeling at the end. And I think that's what the show is missing, at least for me. It's not like when someone says, well, what's wrong with it? I'm like, I can't really point anything one out that I just hate, but it's just not getting me. It's not doing it for me.
Well, I don't think they had enough time to develop characters. We don't have too many characters that we can relate to, that we like, that we've seen in The Walking Dead, or that we've seen in other shows or movies that we liked. I mean, we love Strand. We love Daniel. Even Maddie's growing on me. And remember, I want her to die every episode.
Right.
She was my, you know, most likely to die episode after episode. Over on the weekend, even when the episodes didn't come on, I was just hoping to come back and she wasn't there. You know, we enjoy some of the characters, but in Walking Dead, we have a group which consists of, what, like 7, 8 characters?
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. But we have a group of characters that we can relate to. Not relate to, but that we taken in as family.
Yeah.
The fear, that hasn't happened yet. Everybody hasn't grown on us, or everybody hasn't grown into their own. We see that Chris is starting to do something this episode that is giving people hope. But we still have Ophelia we don't know about. Just to be real, real, real with you, I mean, can we do without her?
Yeah, I'm not surprised if she dies. Like, she might die to actually help Daniel's character, like, go crazy.
Right. I mean, if she leaves, if they don't show her again, if she go down to her room and never come back up like they did on Full House,
right,
nobody would notice.
Nobody will ever notice.
In fact, they probably could change her character out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone's like, oh, Ophelia's my favorite.
Hey, was Ophelia always a man? I didn't know Daniel had a son.
I thought Daniel had a daughter, but maybe he had a son this whole time, yeah.
So she's not a character that we need just yet. Alicia, can we do without her? Yes, she's not a character that we need just yet. Now, I think she will be once that, what's the guy named? Mike Mark?
Who, Jack?
Jack. Once Jack catch up with the ass. Yeah. Right. I mean, she's going to become more relevant. But right now, she's not a character that we need.
Alicia does have a big fan base, though. Like, the actress, because she was on the show The 100. Like, every time I see something about Fear of the Walking Dead, they're talking about Alicia. Like, oh my gosh, I just love her. So I don't think they'll get rid of her due to the fact that she has a large fan base.
Well, maybe I have to watch The 100.
Yeah, I'm watching The 100, but it's, like, taking me forever.
But right now, she's not a character that we need on the show. I don't even think that she's a character that we actually like on the show.
Mm-mm, she's growing on me.
But that's the only difference right now. So I think that they just need time to develop the characters. The characters need to come into their own. After a while, we will have this group that we love.
Okay. Well, our first dislike is Travis coming face to face with the Walker. I didn't like it because I was confused. The first time I watched it, I was a little confused. And the second time I watched it, I was like, that was weird. Like, I don't know if the Walker was dead or alive, but Travis, the first time when he went underwater, a Walker, him come face to face, just like Nick and the other Walker last week.
Yeah.
It cuts to commercial break, like, oh my gosh, there's a Walker in the water with Travis.
Oh my God, Travis dead.
But then it comes back, Travis is no longer even in the water. He's like back on the boat and fixing it. I'm like, wait, what happened? Did you guys cut a scene out? And like, was the Walker dead or alive? Because later on, Maddie, when she was calling Travis, like, Travis, when he was in the water, that same Walker, I believe, comes up, floats up to the top, and then kind of like disappears. And maybe that Walker was dead because it didn't look like, you know, never came all the way out of the surface. But yeah. Still, it was just weird that that's the scene before it goes to commercial break.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then he comes and he's not even in the water anymore. So it was just the transition that they do. And I don't know if they think, oh, if we go to commercial break, by the time it comes back on, they'll forget where we left off. It was like, no, dude, we'll remember what happened before commercial break.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to do the Walking Dead transitions where they're not trying to explain anything.
Yeah, that's one thing Walking Dead
does a lot. It's too soon. It's too soon now.
Right. Because we're paying close attention. It's a new show. We're going to notice all that stuff. All right, Madison asking Strand, like, well, what happened to San Diego? I'm thinking, bitch, didn't y'all learn last week that San Diego got bombed?
Yeah, that was a weird question.
Daniel might have been had Mexico on his mind the whole time. But why are you asking what happened to San Diego? Does it really matter? You know what happened to San Diego. It was just weird.
That was. Yeah, I'm surprised he was more understanding with the question. And he didn't go off on her and be like, hold up. Were we just in the same episode last week?
Right. Which makes me believe maybe a love connection can happen because she's always being disrespectful to Strand. And Strand just be like, you're not going to kill me. Like, you know, he just lets whatever she says get away with. Like, he lets her get away with it. Even though he does stop some things. Like, he was trying to make that little boy get off the boat. He cut the cord on them today on this episode. So he does have some things he'll disagree with her on, but when she be, like, threatening him, he'll just, like, let it slide.
Yeah, and why do you think that he cut the rope? Do you think he have a guest limit? A limit of people he could bring past the border?
I don't know. It showed him talking to himself, and it was kind of like he was thinking, like, shit, I don't know about this. Maybe he felt, if I let them on, it's a slippery slope. That means I'm going to have to let other people on, and it's going to be a never-ending thing. Whereas he's not taking it case by case, where he just kind of thinks, nope. If I let it happen this time, that's like setting precedent. And now every time we come across more people, which we will, they're always going to want me to let them on.
Okay, I can see that. It makes sense.
Although I was surprised not to see anyone get on the little boat with him, like to show some solidarity or something. Like maybe Madison's like, I'm going to, I don't know.
Solidarity? They should have brought them on a boat.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely agree there. But it just seems, I was surprised that no one, like, got on there with him, like, to help her out. I know they gave her water and stuff like that. But so hopefully she will survive a few days. She's a survivor. She survived a plane crash. We'll see where that goes.
Well, I think she's going to meet them in Baja, Mexico.
She does know.
She knows that's where they're going.
She might just keep following them. Like, okay, follow that boat. Unless it's going too fast for her.
I hope she don't turn into a villain or part of their enemies. Because we already know there's another boat or somebody out there that just took out the last boat. So what if they welcome her onto their boat?
Well, if they're evil people, they may not. But that's a possibility. I mean, if that case that you're calling right now reminds me of what happened originally with Sasha and Tyrese.
Right.
So something like that could happen. Or essentially, she can catch up to them in Baja and she ends up saving their lives once again. And it was kind of like, damn, you saved our lives again. Like, you're good people. Or they'll tell her, you're good. And now they'll come together.
Well, I'm mad that they cut the rope. Well, Strand cut the rope. Because I think she'll be a great addition to the show. Or maybe they're bringing her onto the show because we're about to lose one of our people.
That is a possibility. I mean, she already has a lot of fans just from the miniseries, the flight episode. So a lot of people already like her. So if she replaced Ophelia or someone like that, I don't think anyone would trip off that. All right. Why didn't Daniel run when he saw her coming? Like, when she's like, run, he's like, Chris. And first he thought it was Chris. And then he realized, no, it wasn't Chris running towards him. He's just standing there. And then even when she comes up to him, she's like, she grabs his shirt. They're coming. And runs past him. He's just still standing there waiting to see what's coming. Like, dude, she would never even made it to me. Like, as soon as I saw her running and you could see the fear in her eyes, I don't have to ask no questions. I turn around and start running as well.
Yeah, we're all running.
And like, I mean, later on, you'd be like, what are we running from? You know, you would wait until you're like clearly in the clear to ask questions later. But Daniel just sat there and then was like, okay, you had your little gun. What were you going to do? Kill all of them? I was just surprised to see that type of action come from Daniel, who's been in war.
Yeah, that's somebody that we know is very intelligent. He's war savvy.
Right.
So yeah, that was weird.
All right, and last on the dislikes list, and it's very, very small, but like when Nick and Alicia and all them make it back to their little raft, Alicia hugs Nick and she's like, oh, Nick, are you hurt? I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little insensitive, but I was like, stop hugging. Like, come on, like get on the boat and you do that when you get back on the yacht. Like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling that scene like the whole time they were hugging. Oh, I mean, they hugged for like a good 10 seconds. I was like, this is not like you guys never seen each other. Like, so I just thought that was a little weird. Like, come on, let's hurry up, do those hugs later. So as you see, it was not that many dislikes.
No, not at all. Overall, I give the show an A.
An A?
Right, I give this episode an A.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't give it an A+, but I give it an A, maybe a B+. And the reason I give it that, because it didn't have that many dislikes for me. This show is teaching us a lot. It's showing us a lot that we may not have known before. In The Walking Dead, it's giving a whole new spin and perspective on things. Like I said, this was a good episode.
Yeah, I agree.
And now when we talk about The Walking Dead history, we can say Nick did it first when it comes to the blood on him.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Nick did it first.
So they, you know, when they sit around the campfire in The Walking Dead, Rick and them, they say, on this day of 19, of 2000 and so, Nick was the first person to put Walker blood on him. Right. And blend in.
2010. I think it's supposed to be year 2010 because that's when The Walking Dead came out.
Infiltrate the Walker click.
All right. So now we're going to discuss any listener letters we have. We would love to hear from you guys. Our email is dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com. And I had a conversation with Carlos on Twitter. And he was discussing who the leader of the group was. He was saying Daniel. And we kind of discussed how, yeah, Daniel's more of the Daryl type character, at least that was my opinion, whereas Maddie seems more of the Rick character, where she's always saying exactly what she's feeling, which is what Rick does. But he mentions that, I say this because Daniel was the first to hear about the true plans of Victor, and last season also revealed the plans from the army group. So, yes, in a way, Daniel somehow has a little bit more knowledge than what Maddie does. He sees more than Maddie. He knew not to trust Strand before Maddie did. But ultimately, if we had to pick a leader right now in the group, it seems like it's Maddie because she's the one that does all the talking for them.
I have to disagree. Well, I think Maddie would make a good leader. Right now, we see that Strand put his foot down. He's holding on to that leadership position.
Okay, so you think Strand is the leader, not even Daniel or Maddie.
Right. Well, as of right now,
before they kill him.
Right. And I think it's, he made it known by cutting a rope.
Maybe that was him putting his foot down, making sure that they remembered whose boat it was. They forgot his three rules. So he had to remind them real quick. Okay. Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, thanks, Carlos.
And we have an email from Tiffany. She wrote, "It's official. I watch too much TV. You two are me and hubby's TV spirit animals." I know I watch too much TV, too.
Yeah.
She wrote, "Love Container, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Ballers, Power. Y'all got taste. It's all I'm saying."
Thank you.
Thank you. "I think Fear the Walking Dead is getting better each week." And I see that a lot of people are saying that. "I will say this. When did Travis become a scuba diver? Don't you have to be certified and shit?" That really irked me. Like, dude, you were just teaching English. Now you scuba and repairing yachts. Otherwise, I liked everything else. Now, to be a scuba diver, no, I don't think you have to be certified. I don't think.
I don't know. I think you do.
Okay, and then we discussed him repairing yachts, even though it is a stretch. Like, just because you know how to repair a kitchen sink doesn't know how to how to repair a yacht.
Well, we know he's handy.
Yeah, but he is handy, so he's probably able to teach himself a little bit.
And I like the way they put it out there. They didn't just have him just MacGyver everything, put it together, that, it's working. Try it now, Strand.
Right.
They had him, he was unsure of himself. He was trying to fix it, hoping for a prayer. So I like the way they put it.
Yeah. She continues, "I think Chris is going to be the badass of the group on the low. He had major growth all alone by himself. He discovered the things that you will need to do in Z World. And hopefully he will look at his father differently about killing his mom. I'm rooting for him to be less pissy next week."
Hopefully.
And she said, "Nick also had major growth discovering things about the actual zombies, like disguises with zombie blood. We'll see how that develops. I think Strand might have crossed the line into a not nice person. That was really effed up, cutting that girl's rope. And what did the kid do to save her? She was lugging him around like some bad luggage."
Yeah, that's true.
I think she did that, like, I don't know if she said, I'm getting the flight stuff mixed up with the show, but if this is the first time we're seeing him in the show, I'm thinking of the flight scenes. But early in the flight scenes, maybe that first episode, he was on the phone with his mom, and I guess he's like, "Sorry, Mom," and the mom had to take another flight. And it turns out, because there were no more seats, and it turns out, I guess she took the last seat or something like that. So she feels debted to him. Like, oh, you know, your mom would have been with you if I didn't take that last seat.
She need to get over herself.
Right. Like, I mean, but it's nice if that she feels she owes that kid. I mean, she's going to help save his life. I'm pretty sure his mom would be happy that someone's there helping him. Because if she wouldn't have saved him, he would have been probably just on the boat dead. Or not on the boat, excuse me, on the plane dead. Or that's someone else that Chris probably would have been killing to death or something. "Ain't fair and shit. Chris, it took a lot to go into the plane and try to help the guy. And one zombie was still alive. Who's gonna die? Strand. Just before they make it to the compound. Just because, LOL. Oh, can do that with this show. Happy TV watching."
Thank you, Tiffany.
Yes, thank you so much, Tiffany. We appreciate it. I agree with both her takes. "Ain't fair and shit." Those are two good points. Two good picks right there.
Yeah, I like one of them.
All right. Well, once again, our email is dead@theverdictsend.com, or you can always hit us up on Twitter @theverdictsend.com. We tape our full recaps Monday night, and the episode should release sometime Tuesday or Tuesday night. So now for our award and prediction. I ain't fearing shit.
I'm going to have to give the "I ain't fearing shit" to Alex. Like Tiffany said, Alex is carrying this dead person around. Around his dead weight. She killed an actual person to keep him from killing somebody that's dying.
Right.
So either Alex has strong morals or she's not scared of shit. She's just, when he turns to a walker, she's going to take him out also.
When you just said that she killed an actual person to prevent him from killing someone that was dying, it reminded me of what Morgan did, I believe, on the season finale of The Walking Dead. He killed that savior guy who was about to kill Carol. Carol was dying. Actually, technically, they both were dying.
They both were dying.
But he killed one to save someone who was actually, in fact, already almost dying as well. just a comparison I thought of. But I'm going to give the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award. I'm going to give it to Chris as well. I believe I had a few people in mind. I really honestly had Strand in mind, and I also had Nick in mind for various reasons. I thought Strand because he ain't fearing shit. He's talking all this shit to people, and they could easily really overthrow him off his boat.
Right. And Nick could have been.
Yeah, Nick was very badass. I mean,
he was.
Yeah, he was awesome. But what Chris did, he's so young, you got to think about it. I mean, part of it is it I ain't fearing shit or I'm just stupid. You know, there's a thin line. But him going into that plane and trying to help that guy and then taking that guy out, doing that mercy kill, it took a lot of guts. And, you know, he's not fearing shit.
Okay.
Most likely to die. This is where I agree with Tiffany. I don't want Strand to die. He used to be my favorite character, him and Nick, but now it's almost like Nick is my favorite character alone. Strand comes in a far second or third because he's being an ass right now, but I think Strand may die because I think Madison, if they don't end up loving each other, Madison may do what she said she was going to do.
I disagree with you both.
Okay.
On this one. Strand brings that flavor to the show. He's a great character. Even when you hate him, you love him. My pick for most likely to die is probably an easy one. I think Ophelia. And I think the only reason they introduced Alex to the show is to replace. She was a replacement.
For Ophelia.
For Ophelia. Because like I said, we don't really need Ophelia. We didn't see her like the first episode. The second episode, we seen her once.
Right.
I mean, if we don't see her a whole episode, it's not going to make a difference.
Right. No, you're right about that.
And they keep talking about her affection. I'm sorry, infection. her affection for Nick, but her infection for Orr.
Right.
And really, even though Nick have the medicine for her, I think Nick's about to relapse.
Yeah, I think so too. Like when he found it was like that bad boy score. For himself. Yeah, it looked like he found a big score at that time. Not like, oh, I'm going to give this to Ophelia.
You got to think about it. He's still an addict. He's still thinking like an addict. Making addict moves. Like, yeah, you know I can save her, but hey, there'll be more.
Right.
There's going to be more chicks.
He's going to give her the Tylenol instead. Like I found some Tylenol in one of the bags. Here you go. All right, well, that about does it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. Excuse me. You can also listen to us if you watch Game of Thrones. We're doing Game of Thrones podcast. We have an instant cast Sunday nights, and our full recap will come out either Tuesday or Wednesday, Wednesday at the very latest. So check us out there, Game of Thrones podcast, or just type in the verdicts in. You can find us on Google Music Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and theverdictsin.com. We will also be doing instant casts more than likely on Containment, which comes out Tuesday nights, which I think you should definitely watch because they're showing you
a great show.
They're showing you how to do a pre-apocalypse show.
Right.
Like what the fear should have been done, how the fear should have been done. So check that show out. And that's about it for now. Thank you guys so much. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.